Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Debate physics also, but the debate is always in this nothing, sloppy, crappy form of, cheap little cruddy comments, that aren't really a response to all the points made in the video. So, it's not worth much, but okay, that's all we've got, so that's what we'll deal with. No Brozo video. So, his video is almost ready, and it's almost this, and it's always this bullshit. This cartoon. It's really not going to be a video. It's going to be a cartoon of some kind. And, will it address any of the real points in the video, or will he just quote mine mush and try to make that the subject, rather than the explicit point made over and over and over again? Will he diagram how a lever works? No chance. Alright, anyway. So, Draft Physics versus Brozo Comets. Okay, change your fulcrum to an axle. We've already done this. We've been there and done this. And imagine the same arm of the lever spinning horizontally. It doesn't matter which way it spins. Obviously gravity gives you back what it takes, so you can sort of take it out of the equation, blah, 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 blah. So more like a merry-go-round and a seesaw. So we already did this. Again, I already pointed out how angular momentum, the moment of inertia crap, the stuff that changes whether the, in the wheel example, all right, we went through a whole 15-minute, I could play the whole Julius Sumner video, but it's really just pointing out something that has been demonstrated, 1,000 times or something, a million times, a bazillion times. Okay, this camera could be over further. But anyway, close enough. All right, so you roll things down a ramp, and they have different... You place their masses in different places, okay? So if you put the mass here on the outside, so you have a hollow sphere or a ring, okay, a hollow one, or you put the mass heavily in the center and then very little mass on the outside, okay, this one will roll faster, okay? It will gain velocity faster. But the truth is this one will have more torque. It has converted, the reason why it's going slower is it's converting more of this way, okay, the gravitational force, it's converting a higher percentage of it into this, all right? So if you put a little stick on these two things, and you imagine they could still roll, and the stick hits you, this one, okay, would hurt more, even though it's going slower, because it has stored more torque. Okay, it has more mass on the outside going a higher velocity. It has stored more energy in these molecules moving. There's more molecules on the outside than there are on the inside. There's more matter moving here than there is matter moving here. The matter here is moving very slowly, very little momentum in the matter. The matter here has very high momentum, because there's a whole bunch of it here moving very quickly with every turn. Okay, so it's exactly the same argument, and it's completely proportional. So if you do it exactly the right proportions, okay, that is, you change the size, and then you change where the mass distribution, you can do the conversions just like a lever. So just like a lever, you can turn a 10-ton train, okay, 10 tons, okay, going 5 miles an hour, all right, into 5 tons going 10 miles an hour, okay? And you will have the same thing. They're the same whole amount of energy. All right, and I drew this as a stick, a one-sided lever, and I just pointed out that, yes, you can put the two mass here, one notch. This is two notches away, two distances, and you put the one mass here. So you put a one mass here, and you put a two mass here, right? And then you just swing it on this arc. Well, you're doing the same thing. If I was to give you this tool, okay, this was a rod and you could turn it, okay, this way, you would feel the same thing. If I put the two mass here, it's going to feel exactly the same torque as the one mass here. But you're going to do exactly the same thing. You're going to take the mass and reduce it by half, and you're going to increase the velocity by double. And you're going to, you know, here you're going to have twice the mass and half the velocity, half the distance in the same time. It'll be exactly the same thing. You won't be able to tell the difference between this being there and this being there, because every part of this stick will move exactly the same in both cases. When you move this one this speed to get to here, you've moved this thing this distance here. This always moves slower. This always moves faster. I mean, you can't change any of that. All those rules are exactly the same, and the fact that it is that a one mass two notches out on the fulcrum is exactly the same as a two mass one notch. So if I put a two mass on the other side, it would balance the two, and it would balance perfectly with the one out here. That's all. End of the story. You don't need fancy terms like moment of inertia. You don't need all this mush. Momentum completely solves, okay, the energy movement in the system. You can completely follow it perfectly with momentum, and kinetic energy just makes an absolute mess. It says that this thing has twice the energy, 2x the joules. So even though I put a certain amount of joules in here, 100, we know this will go up with 100, the two mass. We're supposed to believe that this actually has 200 joules. And it makes no logical sense that that could be possible, because we know, guess what? That's free energy. I used a 100 joules to lift the two. I drop it. The two here, if I put a two here, I get my 100 back, you know, 99.99999% of it. And if I put a 1 out here, a 1 mass out here, I gain a full 100 extra joules of free energy. It's a free energy theory, obviously. Okay, there's no way to avoid energy. Why? It's clear. There's no way to avoid it. It's exactly what their theory contends. If I put a 1/4 mass out here, I gain 400 joules. I can just keep making more and more energy by putting lighter and lighter things further and further out on the lever, because they will move with faster and faster velocities. And because the velocity is being squared by your silly theory, okay, any increase in velocity creates a completely disproportional increase in energy. This isn't, again, nobody in any comment, nobody in any video in a year has shown where I made a mistake in any of this logic. There's no mistakes in this logic. There's no mistakes in this pointing out what the facts are. And yet you belligerently and still are pretending there's some trick. There's some catch. There's no catch. It's bad physics. It was bad physics from its invention. I pointed out to you the history. The history is a kind of crazy fuck who actually thought if I hit a boulder with a pea, the boulder and the pea would both leave with the same velocity. He didn't have any concept of energy being something conserved in, you know, oh, I lost the end of my pen. No concept like that. All right, he had religious notions, and he thought MV was way too atheist. He called it atheist. He said it's atheist physics. He thought Newton was being too atheist. He thought Descartes was too atheist. That's the origin of this crap. He had no argument and was buried as a loser. That's a fact. Nobody liked him by the time he was dead. Okay, because he said a lot of shit that nobody liked. A lot of crap that wasn't true. And that's the physics you're defending. There was no facts. And then they did a couple of show experiments, like Ken Wheeler. They pushed a bottle against a wall, or, you know, showed you a ferrocell. Look, light's being bent by magnetism, blah, 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 blah. You know, a couple of bogus experiments that weren't logically grounded in any axioms or facts. You know, clay is a great way to measure energy. Nobody proved that. You know, you can't see how you're, you know, it's just obvious they made a gigantic mistake, just recognize they never fixed plus and minus. I mean, plus and minus are wrongly assigned in physics. Okay, obviously it's an increase in electrons and creates an increase in pressure, and the universe runs on pressure differential. That is, stuff moves from high pressure to low pressure. Because of their stupid mistake that they've never fixed, they have the motion in the opposite direction. They have things moving from low pressure to high pressure. So just understand, they didn't even fix that. And you're pretending. Oh, there's some explanation. All right, so Levis finished the comment here. All right. All right, so more like a merry-go-round seesaw than a seesaw. In this case, the weights would be added as matched pairs. It doesn't matter. That wouldn't be the point. The point is how far are they from the center or the fulcrum? That's all that matters. What's the distance from the center of the mass? Okay, and at the same distance to keep balance. In one instance, the weights would be half as much and placed twice as far from the axle. Yes. Duh. Okay. Is it your contention that the force to twist the two at the same acceleration? So twist the two what? Twist one that's this big or twist one that's this big where the mass is? So one, you have all the mass here doing small little motions. One, you have all the mass on the outside doing big motions. And you're going to ask me a rhetorical question? Well, my answer is going to be, duh, that's not going to be the same. The point is that you have to have more mass in the center. So if I double the mass in the center, okay, and I have half the mass on the outside, and I compare those two circumstances, they will be equal. But you have twice as much mass moving the short distance. So if I make twice as much mass go this way, and then I make half as much mass go this way, those two wheels will roll at the same rate because you've made it equal. Just like the lever argument, if I put the one mass a little closer or a little further away, it's not an equality anymore. And it doesn't work. It has to be proportional. You have to cut the momentum and the velocity, I mean the velocity portion and the mass portion have to be inverted. They have to be, if you take a little bit off the velocity, you have to add it to the mass. If you take a little bit off the mass, you have to add it to the velocity. You have to keep the amount of total mass and velocity equal. So you have the same, you know, just obviously this, if I filled this up, you would have pieces of matter that are moving really slow because they're right next to the center of gravity, and mass that's moving much faster out here. But you'd have a whole variety in between. That's not the same as a ring where I have all of the mass out here. So obviously you have to engineer it to match the total momentum, the total mass velocity. So you can compare a ring to a ring, but you really can't, you know, compare a log or whatever you want to call it, a filled thing with a not filled thing. That won't work. You probably can find a way to do that. You know, you can have enough on the, you make the solid thing a little bit bigger to compensate for the fact that you've got a lot of mass moving really short distances. So you could make it a little bigger. So it won't be 50-50 against the ring. But you have to keep the same total mass and velocity. All right. Is it your contention that the force to twist the two at the same acceleration require the same force? So you really don't understand what force is. Now, in gravity, they talk about force as a rate. In every other circumstance in the universe, force is an amount. When I run into something, I'm not going to hit it with a rate of force. I'm going to hit it with an amount of force. I have an amount, I'm going to have an amount to give it. The bowling ball hits the pin. It's not going to hit the pin with a rate of force. It's going to hit the pin with an amount of force. So gravity is a force that is affecting things by raining, my argument is. And it's how long you're in the rain is how much rain hits you. You know, how long you're allowed to free fall. So as long as you're being stopped, the rain stops, so to speak, because you're allowing the rain to go into the earth. But, you know, see, you can't even use analogies because you people get confused so easily. Anyway, it's just so pathetic. But you have to understand, yes, gravity's an elemental force. You know, electricity is less elemental because it's atoms to atoms. You know, light is elemental. You know, some things are elemental forces. That is, they're the real thing. And everything else has collected momentum because it's made of matter. Atoms have momentum. Electrons have momentum. Protons have momentum. They don't really carry force anymore. They're not force. They're carrying. You could call them force carriers. Gravity's not a force carrier. Gravity is a force. And so it's appropriate to say it's falling at a rate, but it's clear that you collect it in a bucket. You collect an amount of momentum from the force. You collect energy. Force is energy. And all we're talking about is ways of collecting it. So when you say the same force, it doesn't really mean anything. You have to say the same energy. Yes. So if you engineered it appropriately, ring against ring, and you had a ring this big, and then you had a ring with twice the circumference, yes, those two rings, if I double the mass of this ring, those two rings will rotate the same rate. Okay. I don't think this requires anything more. All right, so back on the Bruce Yearney video. So the Bruce Yearney guy obviously didn't respond to my comment. He has responded to Stephen Brose, who made a comment on the video previous to me, and even calls him Stephen. So Stephen apparently won't take advantage of his connection to Bruce, at least the connection where he gets a response from the guy, and actually ask him a question, you know, relevant to this subject of kinetic energy. But anyway, so no response from Brozo, no video, no comment. Okay, whatever. Business as usual. So there's just these two raggy little nothing comments by Mindless Marbles and Hermit Old Guy. So apparently this is a real person. Go figure. It's quite an amazing sight to see, isn't it? For context, this person literally thinks they've revolutionized physics. Well, what I think I have done is seen through a big pile of crap. Okay, the whole thing from, yes, everything, the 1900s were really bad. But as I'm pointing out, it was really bad in the 1700s. So physics in the 1700s was really poorly done. Okay, there was no institutions that would debate any issues and all of that kind of crap. It was all just this gang warfare, sort of, the believers versus the non-believers, and whoever could stir up the not much interest in their theories. Clearly, a lot of people searching for hope and freedom and all of these silly little ideas. And the physics got silly, frankly. The physics previous to that, like Newton's physics, as much as people want to critique Newton, Newton had to fight for every bit of it, okay? He had to stand people's critiques, and he had to have answers, and he had to explain, and so did Descartes, and so did Galileo. So it wasn't some free ride. But after them, it did seem kind of free-ridey. I mean, as soon as they got rid of the Inquisition and the threat that a scientist is going to get killed, the scientists got just as lazy as the religious kooks. Okay. It's quite, all right, anyway, for context, this literally thinks he's revolutionized physics. What I found is that physics, the physical universe, is in fact a physical universe, and you can find physical answers to the questions that don't require you to believe in woo and fairies and gremlins and silly crap. Your physics, the physics you believe in, is full of unexplained phenomena, just magic. Magic charge, magic magnetism, magic gravity. It's all just magic. All right, and everyone is just too scared to admit it. You're too cowardly to argue the specific arguments made. And so that makes it clear that this has nothing to do with you actually thinking you're smarter than me or that you have right answers. Because if you had right answers, if you had explanations, you would provide them. The lever argument is so simple. It's clear that even though a two mass this far from the fulcrum perfectly balances with a one mass this far from the fulcrum, perfectly balances, you believe the one mass has twice as much energy. It's a free energy theory. It's so obviously free energy. And what argument have you provided against that argument? Nothing. Okay. They think they are an authority on Newtonian mechanics. Well, I'm an authority on knowing that now, knowing, because I researched it, he didn't say F equals ma. Okay, what he said was force, okay, equals momentum. That's what he said. Okay, any change in your momentum, if your momentum changes, it's all force that changed it. Which is exactly the same thing as basically saying F equals E. Okay, he didn't have the word energy. But he's basically saying, quality of motion, quantity of motion was energy. That was how they said the word energy back then. He was basically saying force equals energy. So, yes. And it's you liars, okay, and frauds and fakes and phonies have tried to say Newton said something different when Newton didn't say anything different. He explicitly said, I think force is momentum. All right. While in reality, they can't even or refuse to grasp high school level physics. So again, obviously the high school teachers are showing physics in one way. Okay, so Bruce Unry just did this video with sliding blocks. The obvious implication of the experiment is somehow when the double mass blocks are moving half as fast, they have lost half the energy. Half the energy disappeared. But there's no explanation how that could possibly be possible because the other block is moving exactly the same speed. So how could I stretch the rubber band and only get 2/3 of the total energy out of it? And if I put an even heavier block, then I'm only going to get 1/2 of the energy out. So if I put a brick wall on one side of the rubber band, somehow I get half the energy's gone. Disappeared. Woo! That's your theory. All right. The narcissism is off the charts. No, your narcissism is off the charts. It doesn't really make any sense. You call yourself mindless marbles, like you have some kind of brain defect, like you know I'm pretty eccentric. Yes, I pick my nose with my big toe. So you're apparently some kind of eccentric, kooky kind of person. And here you are throwing stones. Narcissism stones. Fuck you. What an idiot. All right, so let's do a harmless old guy. Yes, he's got a major malfunction, and you don't. You can't diagram a lever. That's the oldest and simplest tool a human being can make, right? There really isn't a simpler tool a human being could make, is there? I mean, a water drop is sort of a tool. I mean, it reflects light, but I mean, come on. Lever's pretty goddamn simple, and you can't draw me a picture of one. But I'm more concerned about you. He's got you playing with microwaves. So I don't know if Mindless did any experiments ever, but Brozo certainly did, microwaves are, come on, get serious. Compared to what? All right, they're not all that. They're a little dangerous maybe for the surface of your skin and some certain things, but it's not exactly x-rays. Not healthy. Maybe it is. Maybe your cells like to be, jiggled a little bit now and then. Keep them straight. Keep them from being lazy. You need to consider his motives. I mean, of all the wacky accusations made, anybody who thinks I've gotten on the internet and made a single video that was anything other than sincere, okay, no hidden agendas, overtly expressing my anger or dissatisfaction or my critique or my whatever, that there was ever anything dishonest beyond the videos I did, you know, as entertainment. How could anybody draw that conclusion and be rational? I mean, I'm just saying the videos are about as real and genuine as, you know, in appearance, in form, in the whole way it's presented. How could any fucking idiot sell some idea that there's a hidden motive? I thought your physics was stupid when I first heard it in school. I've explained these stories. I saw them draw this wacky picture of a photon. I said, how the fuck does that dumb little piece of shit do all that fancy crap? And I can barely get from here to there without tripping over my own shoelaces. How the fuck does a photon do all this shit? Okay, and in my world, nothing happens for free. You don't do a goddamn thing for free. I don't fall over here. I don't lean over there unless some wind pushes me or some other thing happens. I can't figure out how to do this. You know, so what's that crap? Yeah, so I didn't believe any of it. I said, okay, go ahead, tell me your story. I'm going to go find the truth. But yes, go ahead, say what you want to say. So I knew right away, photon wasn't any of that shit. Okay. It could just be a business model. So I've never monetized a video. I've, you know, spent my whole life critiquing capitalism and the evils of all these selfish, greedy people who are going up to their best friends, so to speak, and selling them something for a profit. I mean, I was offended. You know, I remember the first time I got, you know, when I first got into the business, okay, of using and buying drugs. And my friends would basically be, you know, I'd watch them, you know, get a pound of marijuana, you know, cut it into ounces, and I'd watch them sit there and cut it. And I was like, what the fuck? You're selling this to your friends, you fuckers, and you're cutting it? Right? I mean, it was like, it's not enough for you just to make your good profit, which was about, you know, an 80% markup. Yeah, you know, you paid $400 for a pound. You could sell the ounces for $40 each. You know, there's almost 20 of those in the pound. You know, I mean, it's very, very good business, 16 or whatever. I mean, you can make some money just being honest. And these fuckers couldn't handle it. You know, they couldn't handle just being a nice guy. Oh, I'll just charge you what it costs me. No, I have to rip you off. So, yeah, I became like the biggest drug dealer because I only charged what it cost me. You know, I charge you a little extra for gas and having to evade the police and all that kind of crap. But yes, it was just my costs. Because, you know, this whole business model of fucking each other over is disgusting. Well, anyway. So you know, these jokes are just, you know, they're just slanders in a way. So, yeah, you think it's funny. It's not funny. Make some videos that are actually on a subject, retard. I mean, I think he just has playlists on his channel. So I can, you know, make these little snarky, useless turd comments, you know, and imply this and imply that and imply all kinds of crap about you, you pedophile. Oh, ooh, did I imply something? Yeah. All right, be outrageous, profit. Okay, so there's never been a commercial on my website, on any of my videos. And the only thing that's ever been, I put a donate button on the website. But I never even talk about it. I don't point it out. I don't do anything at all. Okay, but allow people, if it occurs to them, I give them an opportunity to, you know, help me out. But I never solicit it. It could be that he enjoys manipulating. So just, you know, just amazing. It's nothing but aggravation. The aggravation's in every one of my videos. I find it revolting. I find it vomit-worthy that I have to live on a planet of assholes like you. Disgusting, grotesque, shit-talking morons. It revolts me deeply. And you call that manipulating. Oh. So, I don't know what this is. Manipulating people! I don't know. New sentence. New line! Okay. Or he's simply attention-seeking. So again, you know, So anybody who argues counter, anyone who's making a counter argument against anything ever, is just an attention whore. Fuck. I mean, it's such generic crap as an argument. You should be just, you know, there really should just be a kind of censor or prison for people who use arguments this lame. Did you take your drugs today? I mean, you know, this is just such crap. You're just going to slander anybody opposing the authority as an attention seeker. They all want to go to jail. They all want the police to punch them in the face. Whatever it is, you won't cure him. Because I don't have the disease of ignoramus. You do. You're the ignoramus. The shit-talking, mouth-farting ignoramus. But you might well harm yourself. So your name is appropriate. Your brain cells, obviously, they were never young. You never had a passion for anything. You never cared about anything. You've always just been a useless, self-absorbed hermit old guy. You've just never given a fuck about anything. Because you're stupid and you like it that way. I guess that's what this little plus sign means. I don't know. What is that? What? The hermit flag? Do you hate this planet? Alright, so I think there's one more stupid comment somewhere. Alright, a couple of comments on my update video. So I guess we'll do Matter Dirk first. So he says, wow, I'm silly. For some reason I thought you were arguing something else. My apologies. Whatever. Okay, in regards to DP220, I don't know exactly what, they could have put the title of the video, but who cares? Are you sure they say energy will be the same as this energy? I'm sure every one of the arguments I've made, I've intended to say it correctly and explain it correctly. They say lighter objects going faster, even though they have the same momentum, have different amounts of energy. Where I am arguing that logic and lever and lots of other experiments demonstrate they can't have uneven energy because that would make it possible for us to make free energy with something as simple as a lever. We wouldn't have to pay $6 for a gallon of gas because we would have free energy if their theories were correct. The formula is correct, so why do you say those things? Why are you saying it when I'm pointing out overt and gross evidence demonstrating it can't possibly be correct? Every lever, every pendulum, every catapult, every use of a lever or a gear proves it's an invalid theory because none of these things create free energy, and they would be free energy devices if their theory was right. All they can do is convert momentums. A transmission converts one momentum into another momentum. All right. But it's not detailed enough, so I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. The question is mv versus 1/2 mv squared. Obviously, 1/2 mv squared has more little elements to it, so so it has more details. So what are you talking about? I mean, really, what the fuck are you doing here? So you just apologize for making pointless noises, and now you're just starting a new pointless noise statement. You're using a pivot with an arm, which has two lengths to record which is... You're using a pivot with an arm, which has two lengths to record which is affected by the torque. You are using a pivot with an arm, which has two lengths to record which is affected by the torque. There's no point. are something. You don't see how this comment couldn't possibly be of use to anyone, either the readers or me or anyone that just can't possibly be of use. I'm just pointing out that it's just about how many elements of matter are moving and what speed are they individually moving at. And that decides how much momentum or energy something has. So if you can configure it so all the mass is moving big velocities, then you'll have high momentum. If you can configure it so all the mass has low velocities, then you'll have little momentum. Duh! Fuck. Alright, Jack Burton. I'd like to comment on a theory of gravitational lensing. Okay, it's not the same subject, but okay, whatever. Read more. It seems like a ridiculously unrealistic explanation for what is probably a very boring and dull physical effect. Well, I don't think there's anything boring and dull, okay, about what a photon is, understanding that, and then understanding how it interacts with, say, an atom or an individual electron. Now, I'm arguing that no photon, no collection of bits of force, could ever one photon affect an electron. It has to be just a piece of a photon. So you can disrupt the form, the shape of the photon by it hitting an electron. An electron will knock a piece out of it. And if you want to get the photon back, you have to put the piece back. Okay. So electrons scatter photons, you could argue. They break them up. But the good news is you can remake them, because how they're broken is just in their phase. They're out of phase, and you can put them back in phase. But that's certainly not boring, so I don't know, or a dull physical effect. But clearly, that's all that I would argue the actual evidence indicates happens. Photons don't interact with gravity. Photons don't interact with other forces or light or any other force. They only can be affected by hitting matter, electrons and protons. The sun has enough radiation to ionize the Earth's atmosphere. It's not that much radiation, frankly. I mean, 1,000 watts per square meter is not exactly wow. But yes, it's enough to cause some oxidation, you could even argue. Our ionosphere, I didn't even know there was one, so isn't that fascinating? Bends certain radio waves. Now, see, bending's a tricky word. Does it really bend them, or does it do with what all matter does, which is in some way refract, you know, reflect, or you could say transmit crookedly, okay? I mean, when the light reflects off me, do you really think it just bounces off? Or do you think it's probably more complicated than that it goes in and it does a U-turn, right? You know, something like that. So, you know, these terms are a little bit vague. So using the word bend is a little tricky. But the point would be is that when light hits a bunch of atoms, you know, made of electrons and protons, the light will be affected. Yeah, it won't be the same after the experience. That could be stated. And yes, that could mean that you can receive radio at a different location because you're reflecting it, not really bending it. Okay. Radio wave frequencies and enables radios to communicate beyond the horizon. Well, as I understand it, just a few clouds can do that. So you just put a few clouds in the atmosphere and you can get your radio to bend pretty good too. I've never heard someone say that the Earth's gravitational field lenses radio waves. Well, they clearly do think that happens because they shoot radio waves at objects in space, or they see an object because there's a radio source behind it, and then they see its corona, the effect. And the fact is that radio waves, just like light, are bent, okay, around gravitational objects. But all of these gravitational objects are, in fact, on fire, okay? So they are all covered in a plasma, a field around them of atoms. And it's the atoms that are doing the bending. So there's no evidence. Well, the Earth's gravitational field bending radio waves is what you stated. And the Earth is a good example because obviously it's not on fire. But it does have an atmosphere. Okay, now the atmosphere runs out pretty quick, but they've never really done experiments short range in space with radio waves. Not that I know of. But that would be an interesting experiment, shooting over the horizon and seeing if they can bend a radio wave, okay, around the horizon from space, you know, from a few miles away from the Earth, and see if the radio waves bend. Yeah, I've seen no experiments regarding that. It's always called line of sight, and line of sight is always straight line of sight. Almost certainly our sun's stellar corona has enough plasma to account for every gravitational lensing effect ever observed. Ever observed using the sun. And that's what the NASA scientists will tell you, that outside the sun's corona, there is no evidence of any bent light. So only inside the sun's corona is there evidence of bent light. The Eddington experiment was supposed to be done outside the sun's corona, so they haven't been able to repeat the Eddington experiment where they do the experiment outside the sun's corona and see bending. So it is clear you are correct. The plasma, the atoms around the sun, the electrons and protons surrounding the sun are in fact scattering light. And by scattering light means you send it in all directions. So it looks like it's bending everywhere, because it bends everywhere. Some photons bend this way, some photons bend this way. So no matter where you go, there's bending to you. And you can think that's lensing, gravitational lensing, but no, it's just scatter. Scatter looks just like lensing, in a sense, because it sends some light to every single location. It bends all the light somewhere, so everywhere sees bent light. All right, maybe if theoretical physics had a better foundation in practical engineering. I think that is part of this, right? Because as a kid, I broke everything ever handed to me. You know, my hammer was my favorite tool. I mean, I loved understanding why things worked. I had to know. We had a really nice, you know, we had a piano clock, you know, one of those classic wooden clocks, you know, thing. And I broke it 3 times because I had to know how the clock could tell time. I mean, it seemed like magic to, how the fuck does that clock know what time it is? I don't know what fucking time it is. How does that piece of shit know what time it is? I don't know what time it is. I had to know. Are the people in there? What's in there? I was very young. We're talking less than 5 years old, okay? So I was a little kid. I also, you know, I stuck bobby pins in light sockets. I did all that shit. We would all be better off. I would agree that physicists are making career choices. These aren't people who had any passion for understanding. These are people who had a passion for getting a fancy degree that'll enable them to look down at everybody else and confuse them. That seems like all they were passionate about. Physicists aren't Newtonian. Yeah. They're not Newton types. They're not Galileo types. They're not Descartian types. They're douche e-baggy types. Alright. So I think now we're done. Okay, cool. So, waiting on the brozo to prove that, yes, of course it takes more energy to move the lighter object twice the speed. Yes, of course it takes more energy to make a 5-ton train go 10 miles an hour than it takes to make a 10-ton train go 5 miles an hour. Of course, the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour takes more energy. Never proven, never demonstrated, never shown, never, no evidence that was ever true, or that it's true in any of these other examples that parallel that circumstance. The one mass twice as far on the lever is the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. The two mass half the distance is the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour. The lever proves same energy. Same thing. Same energy to make them happen. Same energy if they hit each other. The 5-ton train is not going to win. Tug of war, the 5-ton train is not going to win. Same energy. No mv squared bullshit. No 1/2 mv squared bullshit. Complete fantasy, fable physics. It's fable physics. It isn't real physics. Fable physics. Alright, so I guess we can just get rid of this stuff and slide into the oblivion. So, till the next time and such, this has been AdraPhysics.com, DebatePhysics.com also, but nobody can put a debate in any kind of form worth me, okay, representing the argument as a sequence of arguments. They just can't do the sequential arguing thing. You know, they can't even master that little tiny logical feat.